Good morning. Welcome to a Thursday open line. I am your host, Brian Bowes, and we've got a full program to bring you this morning. Later on in the hour, we'll visit with one of our six Okanagan County Sheriff candidates to replace the retiring Sheriff Frank Rogers. It'll be Steve Brown later on in the hour. But first off, we are joined in the studio by another of those six candidates, Kevin Newport. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
It's been quite a haul here so far these last few months.
Yes, it's kind of hard to get a word in edgewise at the forums.
with six of you, yeah. I know you were talking a little bit before we got on the air, and how it's got to be kind of difficult to find something new to say, especially if you're maybe sixth in line with a question that gets asked.
Right. Well, when you're talking to six Republicans that are all conservatives and you ask them the Second Amendment question, it's kind of hard to defer from that a little bit for each question. It's almost like a template. Because it's just the way they feel.
Okay.
So it's very hard to answer those.
So as we established, you are running for Okanagan County Sheriff.
That is correct.
And it sounds like you might be a Republican.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. So that takes care of, we have this little template of questions that we try to be fair to all the candidates. So, well, I'll have a little brief background of who's Kevin Newport.
Well, I was born in Spokane. I lived there till about age 7 or 8, and that's when my parents started moving around the inland northwest. At one point, I ended up living in Singapore with my dad, who was a cabinet maker. At some point, I ended up moving back here to the Okanagan Valley, which was my first time living here. I moved in with my father in Brewster, where I lived from 13 until I graduated from Brewster in 1988. Little plug for Rick Duck. I know Rick Duck from school. So, then from there, I ended up going and joining the military when I was 17. They had a special program. I went to boot camp when I was 17. Came back to high school when I was 18, graduated, and went back to my specialized training. Spent a couple years out of county doing construction, then come back to work in the counter-drug support program with the Washington Army National Guard. Served 8 years, ended up attaining the rank of sergeant, decided that I wanted a full-time job doing law enforcement, applied with the sheriff's office in 91 under Jim Weed, and that's where I've served ever since.
Okay, all right. So Jim Weed product.
Yes, but I would like to talk about my family if I could real quick.
Hey, it's just your show.
Yep. So I've been married for 26 years to my beautiful, loving wife, Crystal, and we have four grown kids. One lives in Spokane. The rest live around the area here, and I'm a grandfather 10 times over. So I've been involved in River Valley Soccer at one point as a president of over 400 kids. I'm still engaged with my grandkids as much as possible, which takes quite a bit of my time. So some of the extra stuffs I don't do as much as I used to. And basically, we do have a sideline business. A lot of people may know what it is. It's called Jumps or Us Inflatables. We're the ones that deliver the bouncy houses around the area.
Well, that's you.
Yes, that is me.
Okay.
That's my wife and me and my son.
Nice.
So I've been asked the question, how would you balance that out? And it's real simple. I got a son that's got some pretty hefty muscles, so when I'm not working, he's helping the wife out.
Yeah, okay, good deal. Okay, so let's just, why are you seeking the office?
Well, after 27 years, kind of like the military. In the military, they used to have a rule where it didn't matter how long you stayed in there. You could retire as a private if you wanted to. I don't believe in that. I believe that everybody that has a position in any kind of department, whether it's private or public, your ambition should always be to move up. And I've always tried to do that. And during my 27 years with the sheriff's office, I've assumed a lot of roles. I've been in charge of the SWAT team. I've been in charge of the reserve program. I've been in charge of the task force as a supervisor. I've served 8 years in the drug task force. So I've done a lot of different things that require leadership. And after doing those, you know, there's no, what other direction is there but up? So obviously the next step that makes the most sense for me is I do want to be sheriff. And one of the reasons why is I do believe that there are some subtle things that need to be changed within the department, and I can affect that change.
Okay. Well, what is your current position?
As far as?
Within the sheriff's office.
As far as the platform views?
Yeah. No. What is your current?
My
position in your office.
Excuse me. I am a field deputy currently with the sheriff's office.
Okay. All right.
So, and I work in the Mid-Valley area, which is everywhere from South Pine Creek Road, Riverside area, all the way down to Davis Canyon and the reservation up to the Loop Loop Summit. But obviously, I'll go wherever I'm needed as a Mid-Valley deputy, which I oftentimes quite do.
For sure, yeah. Now, you said there's some tweaking, some things you'd like to see maybe done differently. But what are the major issues that you think the next sheriff will be facing?
Well, I think the two biggest issues going to face the sheriff's office is, and it sounds like a cliche, but it's absolutely true, and I think Rogers would tell you this as well, it's a shrinking budget. It's trying to do more with less or trying to do more with the same.
Right.
And when you're working with a limited budget and the population of Okanagan County is growing, the complaint load's growing, the services are growing, the money doesn't always grow at the same rate. And so with that, you have to be fiscally responsible with the money that you do have to make sure it's being spent in the proper ways. So that's going to be one. The other one, obviously, which is dear to my heart from my 8 years in the drug task force, is we have an epidemic right now of drugs in this county. And the drug problem is creating a lot of problems. It's probably the number one factor that leads to your property crimes, your crimes of violence, your thefts, burglaries, assaults, driving offenses under the influence. And we have a drug task force, which is called the North Central Washington Narcotics Task Force, and it's considered what we call a multi-jurisdictional task force, which means many agencies or a few agencies participate in that to be called multi-jurisdictional. The problem is now we're down to a very limited number of detectives in there, and so it's kind of hard to fight a drug problem when you don't have limited resources in an agency responsible for fighting the drugs in this county. So that the drug problem is, like I said, one of the major issues besides the budget.
Okay. We'll get back to that in a second. I want to ask you a question about the budget. You have a lot of a wide and varied background that lends itself well to law enforcement and the position that you seek. What about your budgetary experience?
All I could tell people is I run a small business. I understand the need for spending money wisely, spending within the means that you have, and putting money back into the business just like you would anything else, but you have to do that responsibly, and you have to know where to spend your money when it's appropriate. And the other part of that is it's not just a one-man show. If I become sheriff, I'm going to have some people underneath me, and I expect those people underneath me to also be leaders and understand some of these tasks that we're having. So the sheriff, for example, is the head law enforcement officer for the sheriff's office. However, you do have a jail administrator who is responsible for managing his budget. You have a head of records that would be responsible for managing their budget, a head of the field unit responsible for managing their budget, and with input from the sheriff, which would be me, the undersheriff, and these department heads, which we call chiefs, that's how you come to using your budget properly.
I was likening it to a professional sports team. You've got a head coach who has a working knowledge of all aspects of the game, but then you surround yourself with those specialists, as it were, who know the intricacies of each spot. Yeah,
absolutely. The sheriff has the overall direction sets the overall direction for the sheriff's office, but he has to have, or she has to have, a core group of people below them that helps them fulfill that direction that he wants to go or she wants to go. And so that's why when you hire people, you really need to hire true leaders.
Sure.
People that have the ability to actually lead people, not just be a boss.
Yeah. So there are six of you running for this position. Four of you sort of kind of work together.
Yes.
One other person is in law enforcement, who I'm sure you're very familiar with, and then another person who's not really in law enforcement. How do you differ between your opponents?
How do I? Well, my biggest asset that I bring to the game is I am now the, quote, dinosaur of the sheriff's office. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that I'm the oldest deputy currently on active duty working there. I've seen sheriffs come and go. I've seen sergeants come and go. I've seen a lot of people come and go.
Now, oldest by age or by experience?
By number of years, okay. With the department.
Right.
I'm 49 years old, so. But I've seen a lot of people come and go from the department. And over those years, I'm also the guild president. So I understand issues when it pertains to labor law, settling contracts. I've done all that stuff. So I have an appreciation for labor law and understanding how things work within that realm. The way I differ in my own feeling is since I have 27 years on with the sheriff's office, I've pretty much taken a hold of a lot of different programs as much as I can for the purpose of knowing one day I was going to run for sheriff. So I have a very good internal knowledge of the sheriff's office. One other thing I would say to that effect is if you take each candidate that's currently running, they each have a area that they're specialized in. One may be traffic, one may be field, one may be an administrator. I have experience in supervising the task force. I have experience in working the field. I have experience with the guild. not all your candidates can say the same thing. I have experience in all fields. I'm a jack of all trades, king of none.
Okay. You mentioned the drug epidemic in our county.
Yes.
The opiates and heroin has been an insidious thing that's been happening over the last few years. And you mentioned the drug task force. I'm guessing one of your platforms would be to beef that up. But what other ideas would you have for helping to combat this drug problem?
Well, one thing that I noticed, and I'm not quite sure why that is, and I don't necessarily have an answer, but I do want to get a part of to help intermingle with our youth, is become part of the Okanagan County Community Coalition. And I've been told in the past that we are, but I know that we're not actively involved in that, and I'm not sure why we're not involved in that. When I have OMAC PD and the Department of Fish and Wildlife, which I get along with them just fine, but they're out in the county trying to do emphasis patrols, and we're not out there doing it. I'm not sure why that is. I mean, this is our county, and we should be the ones out there patrolling our own areas looking for the MIP parties. The second one is I agree with the other candidates when they say that we need to be involved in the schools. Absolutely. I don't know how you're going to necessarily accomplish that without either grant funding or finding other ways to realign the department, which is another one of my platform views, to put more people on the street. We do need to engage our youth. I agree with that. They are our future. So without doing something to affect their minds towards law enforcement and drugs, we're basically giving up on an entire generation.
Right. Okay. You mentioned something intriguing there in your answer. So you're talking, you have some realignment plans to get more officers on this. What does that look like?
Well, currently I think that we're misusing our resources within the sheriff's office. And when I say that, I mean our personnel and with their assigned tasks.
Okay.
For example, if I was going to realign the department, I can basically tell you how I'm going to do that. I'm going to, first of all, people say that it can't be done, and I disagree with that. I'm going to require that the sheriff, the undersheriff, and the chief criminal deputy actually handle calls for service when they're not engaged in anything actively at the office. That puts more manpower on the street. Secondly, we have three detectives. I've been here for 27 years. I can tell you I don't believe the caseload is there for three detectives. Two, yes. Three, no. So we currently have a position that somebody stepped out of to go work another job that's now vacant. I plan on turning that back into a field deputy position. The admin sergeant that we currently have, I'm not going to fire him. I can't. I would not do that. There's no reason for that. But through attrition, when that person decides to retire, I'm going to convert that to another field deputy. So there's two right there, and now three people in administration working, and two field guys now, or two positions back to a field unit. Then on top of that, I want to redefine what kind of calls for service field deputies handle versus what detectives handle. So in other words, I don't want my field deputies tied up on major crimes, stuck at the hospital for hours on end when they should be out in the field handling calls for service like domestic violence calls or assault calls or burglaries in progress. I want them to handle those kind of calls.
Sure.
I want the detectives to handle what I would consider, like, and you hear it on CSI Miami and all these other shows on TV, major crimes. Currently, there's a lot of crimes that sometimes come in that the deputies get stuck with. For example, there's been a few cases where there's been like a major fraud case where somebody's been ripped off thousands and thousands of dollars, which takes search warrants and hours and hours and hours to do it, but yet it's still assigned to a field deputy instead of a detective. So then the field deputy's stuck handling all that while everybody else around him is trying to handle the calls for service. So that doesn't make any sense. We need to realign what duties each person in the department does and try to free up resources so first responders can be first responders, mm-hmm. Detectives can be detectives.
Okay. You know, nationwide over the last year and a half or so, there's been a huge backlash against almost all levels and all kinds of law enforcement in terms of their approach to ethnic groups. We have three major ethnic groups, I guess you could say, here in our county.
Correct.
And, you know, what I see is I don't see a lot of cohesiveness within those three groups. It seems to me, anyway. How can the sheriff's department be a positive influence, a positive impact in bringing all the ethnicities together in a positive, cooperative way?
Well, the sheriff isn't actually a pretty political position, so I think that the sheriff's first step is to reach out to these different communities and try to engage them from a law enforcement standpoint and from the Okanagan County Sheriff's Office standpoint to basically say, look, we're here, we're willing to listen to what your issues are that that you have, what can we do to help you as a law enforcement agency?
Yeah.
Secondly to that is, you know, that we do have some other ethnic different people working for us at the sheriff's office, which is always an asset too, because they can be our conduit to these other people within the agency or in the community. So I think that a diverse department as well, men, women, and different races are always a plus for any agency we have. I actually think that we have a very good relationship currently with the Colville Tribal Police Department. At least I know that the field officers with the field deputies have a very good relationship with them. So I don't think that that's anything that needs to be reinvented. I think we continue doing the work we're doing. And as far as overall working with all the other agencies in the Valley, I think we have an excellent working relationship with them. So I wouldn't change any of that.
No, it's just a matter of being a more positive presence, being a more purposeful presence. And,
getting involved in your community.
Okay.
Even as a street officer, you can do that. You know, there's ways of doing that. Volunteering.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Because they're kind of the frontline people.
Yep. People look up to them, no matter what community they live in, is the person they want to kind of go to.
Yeah.
They kind of gravitate to that person.
Yeah. Can they be trusted? Can they
lead by example?
Sure.
Is my motto.
Yeah. So we've covered a lot of stuff. I think we've covered your top priorities if elected, your major issues and such. Anything, Kevin, before we wrap up, that you want to make sure people hear about?
Yeah, the main thing is I'm kind of like the dark horse. People say, well, I don't really know who you are. And I tell people it's because I don't try to make a name for myself. I just try to do my job every day and the best job I can. And what I'm trying to offer the public is I'm trying to tell the folks out there, look, there's a reason why I'm running. And don't take it for granted that I have 27 years, but you don't know my name. I think if you ask most of the people in the department, they respect me, if not all. And we may disagree with some of the guys in the department or the gals in the department, but everybody respects me. And I know that I have the respect of just about every other law enforcement agency out there, and I work well with them. So my biggest asset I think that I'm going to bring to the sheriff's office is the fact that I have the respect of all these people and the community, and I think that these issues that I brought on my platform can be addressed and that we can fix these small things. There's no major revamp of the sheriff's office that needs to take place. That's just a cliche that people use every time they run. I don't even think it's been used this time around, which, thank you, I'm tired of listening to that. I think we just need to do some small minor changes. And if anybody would like to do some more research on me, I'd like to give my webpage and my Facebook page. So anybody out there that would like to learn more about me, I would ask you to go to my website, which is www.newport4sheriff.com. And then my Facebook is the same thing, Newport for Sheriff. And you'll find on my website that I have my platform issues, things that I want to do and change, some of them, that's not all of them, but some of them on there posted under one of the tabs on there. And it'll explain more about me.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
August won't get here quick enough, will it?
It's been a long, long 2-3 months.
Yeah, I bet so. Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Best of luck, Kevin. All right.
Let there be light. Now you can sync your lighting to your activities with Philips Hue Smart Lighting. Match your lights to your music and match light colors with your favorite team colors while watching a game. Set your home to glow as you approach and set lighting to gently wake you up and lull you to sleep. Hue lets you control color, brightness, and timing all through your smartphone. Look for Philips Hue Smart Lighting and the white and color ambiance kit at the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com/lighting for details. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing.
A smart home is really all about home automation, putting together the right smart devices, smart electronics, appliances, and gadgets, and programming them to do what you want automatically. And if you've been planning to get started on a project to make your home smarter, it's actually easier to do now than ever before. Even if you're a total newbie to smart home technology, the Home Depot can help you find the right solution to make your home smarter and more connected. For more information, visit homedepot.com. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Oh, O'Reilly. Top off or flush and refill your cooling system with Pete Long Life Universal Premixed Antifreeze and Coolant on sale for $6.99 a gallon after mail-in rebate. Protect against damaging rust and corrosion with Pete Long Life Universal Premixed Antifreeze and Coolant at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to our Thursday open line. Just got done interviewing Kevin Newport, who is one of six candidates vying for the seat being vacated via retirement from Okanagan County Sheriff Frank Rogers. Want more information, you can go to Newport, the number four, so newportforsheriff.com has a Facebook and a website for more information on that. Next, here in our studio, we're also joined by another sheriff's candidate, Steve Brown. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Having a fun couple of months?
Yeah, it's been a busy couple of months.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad to talk to you and the listening public about the issues today and running for sheriff. And it's a great opportunity for me and the rest of the candidates to share our platform with you and everybody listening.
You have a political affiliation you're running under?
The Republican Party.
You are. Okay. Awesome. All right. Steve, a brief background. Who are you?
I was born and raised here in Okanagan County, went to school in Okanagan, graduated from Okanagan. I spent 1 year in the oil fields of California before returning to go to college. Went to college for a year, played a little bit of college baseball there until my dad got hurt in a logging accident. So I quit school, returned home. My mom was a babysitter, and so I got a job with the Forest Service. I worked in both Twisp and Winthrop for about 6 or 7 years as a wildland firefighter. Then I returned to college again. I ended up getting a degree in Parks and Recreations and Wildlife and one in Law and Justice. And so when I graduated and came back, I wanted a job, any job. And so I applied everywhere. Idaho State Patrol, Washington State Patrol, the county, the tribe, everywhere. And of course the tribe was the first law enforcement agency that offered me a job. So I accepted that in 1999.
All right.
And that's how I became in law enforcement.
Yeah. So what are you currently, what's your current title in law enforcement?
I am the Chief Criminal Deputy with the Okanagan County Sheriff's Office, and I'm the commander of the North Central Washington Narcotics Task Force, which most people in the county, if you read the paper, refer to that as the Drug Task Force.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so why? You got a good life, you're busy, things are going great. Why do you want to add this headache to your resume?
Good question, right? I've been a patrol officer. I was hired, like I said, by the tribe in 99. In 2001, I was offered a job with the Drug Task Force as a full-time detective. And I accepted that job. It was one of the greatest jobs I'd ever had in law enforcement. And I think anybody who ever worked there would agree. I worked there for about 15 years. And the opportunity came up to be the chief criminal deputy of the sheriff's office. I went to Frank. Frank didn't have to come search for me. As a matter of fact, I think there were other candidates that had the same opportunity from the sheriff's office, that either didn't accept it, or it wasn't offered. And so I went to Frank and told him, you know, someday I want to be the sheriff. That's my goal. My goal is not to stay stagnant forever. And so he offered me the position, and I accepted it. And part of that was is I wanted to learn from who I thought was the best sheriff that Okanagan County had had. And at the time, I didn't know much about Undersheriff Someday, although he was a part of our executive board. I didn't know much about him at the time. But in my 3.5 years working there, I've learned a great deal from the Undersheriff, particularly about budgets. We talk about budgets, but I don't think anybody really understands a budget. It's definitely not like running your own checkbook. It's not like running a small business. This is a multi-million dollar operation.
Government accounting is
completely different. And so I am not Undersheriff Someday. He's a very, very smart man. But I've learned a lot from him.
Sure.
And I'm not Sheriff Rogers. But in 3.5 years, I've learned a great deal from him. And so I think that, and I believe that that puts me in a position ahead of everybody else to have the opportunity to learn from them. And not only that, I took that opportunity. I went to them because I wanted the job, to grow my influence within the sheriff's office. And so that's why I'm running for sheriff. I want to be the sheriff.
Okay. All right. So a little bit more about your personal background. Married?
No.
Nope.
Not married. I spend a majority of my time in the spring and summer coaching youth baseball. I grew up playing baseball. As an umpire around here.
Very well.
Yeah. So back in the day, that's all there was for us kids to do was play baseball. So that's what I did my entire life is play baseball every single day. I have a passion for it. Love the youth of this community, love to coach kids. My kids would say I'm kind of more of a preacher or a mentor than a coach. I tell all of my kids to play for me. Number one, you will be a good son. Second, you'll be a good student. And then third, you'll be a good baseball player. And if you do those things in that order, you'll grow up to be good young men.
Yeah.
And so, I just really enjoy coaching.
Is it because of your or maybe a combination of your love for the game, but also because of the coaches that you had?
Yeah, no, I grew up with some great coaches.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, who had a huge impact and influence on my life of who I am today. But it's my game too. I mean, it's what I love. So
yeah, for sure. So I think you've hit pretty well upon. Whether or not you're qualified for this position, do you want to address that a little deeper at all? Or
no, I think there are some issues that definitely separate me from the rest of the candidates. Although all of us clearly agree on most of the issues,
right?
We don't agree on some of them. Just wholeheartedly disagree with the direction that the sheriff's office should go, or actually what it is that we do.
Okay.
And so,
talk about that.
I'll talk about two that are just brief, because I think everybody understands, and I can explain it fairly briefly. One of those questions that was asked at one of these forums of all the candidates is what the sheriff thought of arming school teachers. Now, every single candidate said that yes to that question, besides me. Unequivocally, I answered no, and I just think. That's a terrible idea. And the reason I think that's a terrible idea is because they didn't ask the question as a school administrator, what do you think? As a parent, what do you think? They asked you as a sheriff, what would you think about that? And everybody in law enforcement knows another law enforcement officer, a highly trained law enforcement officer who's had an accidental discharge or shot himself or shot somebody else on accident. So our school teachers are educators. They're not trained law enforcement officers. And basically what you're asking them to do is to be armed in case of a terrible school shooting incident. And what you would ask them to do is take the life of another person. I don't want to be responsible for their training. And so as sheriff, I think that's a bad idea. And that was the question. The other one that I wholeheartedly disagreed, that everybody else agreed to, was the question about tax increases to fund the sheriff's office. I think you have to really look at the makeup of the sheriff's office and where the funding goes. So currently, 85% of the entire budget of the sheriff's office goes to wages and benefits. That is nothing that the sheriff has control over. We don't even negotiate those. Those are negotiated between the guild and the commissioners. And so when you ask people to give you more money in the form of a tax increase, what you're asking them to do is basically give you a raise, because 85% of that money that's generated is going to go into your wages and benefits. I think we are fairly compensated. We are paid a good wage, and we have a great benefits package, and it's well-deserved for the men and women who go out there and work hard every day and put their life on the line. It's a dangerous job, you know. You miss Christmases with your family. You miss all the holidays. You may miss birthdays. You know, you're working at night when your kids are sleeping, and you're sleeping during the day when your kids are going to school. So I understand that the whole dynamics of that. But I believe we're fairly compensated for that currently. And I don't think asking the taxpayers, basically for an 8.5% increase or an 85% increase or however you want to look at that, that goes towards my wages. I just don't think that's a fair thing. The other thing that I've heard from not every candidate, but most of the candidates, is a realignment and a restructure. And it's not been openly said, but it's been hinted at, that the sheriff, the undersheriff, and the chief criminal deputy, when they can, should be out on the street handling calls, dealing with the public, and that kind of thing. I'm not sure that any of those candidates actually have a good understanding of what it is that the sheriff, the undersheriff, and the chief deputy do. I am extremely busy as a chief deputy. I don't know that I have time to handle a call. Now, I don't want to say a call ever in 365 days, but a normal day for me, just last week, or almost every day, is fielding calls from the Department of Justice. You got Fish and Wildlife calling you. You have U.S. Fish and Wildlife calling you about a wolf incident. You have the jail calling you, asking you for overtime issues. You have the public calling you, asking you questions or filing complaints. On top of that, you're trying to deal with the Bulletproof Vest program that I run, the Drug Task Force program that I run. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on and on. To include, I will say, that of all of the candidates running, to make a claim maybe that we don't do enough as administrators, out of all the candidates running in the last 6 months, and I could go back however long, but I'll just take the last 6 months, I have more felony arrests than any of the candidates running, and some of them work the street. I have 11 drug felony arrests in the last 6 months. I've written 11 different probable cause statements. I've served search warrants over in Everett. I've served search warrants in Thurston County. I've served search warrants here in Okanagan County. So I'm not sure they understand what it is that I actually do. So I don't think, and regardless of who your next sheriff is, Frank and I have had those same conversations. When he came in, boy, he was gung-ho, right? He was a sergeant at OMAC, and he was going to come out and kick some butt back out on the street, and he was going to... It took him about a year and a half to realize, holy cow, I can't do that. You know, we've had those conversations. So I just don't think people really have a good understanding of what it is administrators do. We're extremely busy every day. You know, you can walk by the office, see me sitting in there. I'm not doing nothing. You know, I'm dealing with the tribe. I'm dealing with other county agencies, and I'm dealing with the public. So we are busy. Yeah. And so I just differ with that. I think that's I think you can say that, but until you sit there and you've done it, you don't really have a good understanding of what we do. And I guess the final thing for me would be we all agree. Everybody at the table agrees that drugs is a huge problem.
Yeah.
But I've not yet heard one candidate tell you how he's going to fix that problem. And I don't think that there is any candidate that understands the issue better than I do. My entire law enforcement career, except for the last 3.5 years as chief deputy, has been spent in drugs. That was my whole world. I didn't wear a uniform around. I was undercover. I actually went undercover and purchased dope myself. I ran investigations. I developed my own informants, and I did that for 15 years. I did it well enough that every executive board member, which is made up by all the police chiefs and the sheriffs of both Okanagan and Ferry County, unanimously voted me commander of the drug task force. That includes some of those today who are still on the executive board running for sheriff. So, and I've been there ever since. And so I think to answer the question of how you're going to address a drug problem, you truly have to understand it. And I have that understanding. And so you have to get deep down into the weeds, and you have to tell the public. You can't just say, hey, we're going to bring farmers and ranchers and businessmen together to fight this problem. You know, a farmer and ranchers and businessmen, with all due respect to them, they're not looking to Steve Brown to tell them how to grow a bigger and better apple. They're not asking me, hey, well, how am I going to get more money out of my cows?
Okay.
Right? And I'm not asking them to come help with the drug problem. I understand partnerships, but they're looking to me for an answer. They want an answer. And so the answer is that you have to have buy-in from all the cities and not just the sheriff's department.
Okay.
So, and it costs money. Nothing's free. So here's an example, and I'll start from the very beginning. We used to receive a grant from the Department of Justice, which was $276,000. The Department of Justice gives that money to the Department of Commerce, who administers the grant. That money filters down to the county. At one time, we had close to 8 to 10 detectives, including a full-time administrator, office administrator, a full-time Army National Guardsman, all these detectives, Ferry County buy-in and everything. Currently, our grant for this year is $21,000. That's all we've got. Now, last year it was $123,555, but because of a lawsuit with the city of Chicago and the federal government, that put a hold on those funds. And it's all about immigration. This is a political issue. It's Republicans against Democrats. It has nothing to do with helping out Okanagan County and fighting drugs. It's all about politics.
Sure.
There was an injunction put in place, and that money was released 2 weeks ago to come back to the county. Well, Washington State, according to the Attorney General's office yesterday, is going to join 4 or 5 other states in another lawsuit. It's another political issue. So the money's still tied up. So we're hurting for money. It's not a cheap investigation. For example, a point of heroin is a tenth of a gram. It's $20 for a point of heroin. There's 28.3 grams in an ounce. Do the math. It's $5,660 for an ounce of heroin. That's an expensive habit. Very expensive habit. As Kevin had alluded to earlier, the drug task force is made up of all the agencies in both counties. However, historically speaking, the only people who have ever put anybody into that drug task force is the Okanagan County Sheriff's Office, which currently does today, U.S. Border Patrol, Oroville Sector, which currently is today, and historically speaking, it's always been the tribe. Now, unfortunately for the tribe, we have stole a couple of very good employees from them, me being one long ago, and so they're kind of hurting for bodies, so they haven't put anybody in the last year or year and a half or so. But, you know, over the years, they've been a great partner with ours, and we still have that communication with Chief Best, and I believe that they will put somebody back in. None of the other cities ever have. You know, you might get a part-time employee here and there. But basically, they have benefited from the services of the drug task force for very little money. Now, I will tell you that there is a small fee to be a member. There's a participation fee, and based on your size of the city, you know, you either pay $1,000 or $3,000 or $5,000. But when you think about the cost of a drug investigation, and you think about the cost of 1 ounce of dope, I call heroin dope, that participation fee doesn't even cost or doesn't even cover the cost for me to go out and buy 1 ounce of dope. So the answer to the problem and the drug problem is that you have to buy in from every city. That means these chiefs have to have honest conversations with their mayors, tough conversations, conversations they may not like to have. And you need to go in and you have to have those conversations with the mayor and tell them, I know everybody is struggling, but if we do not have buy-in for this drug task force, this is what will happen. You will lose it. And when you lose it, you will never get it back. The cost to do that is just too expensive. Currently, we have been very good at managing our own money and our own budget. We have investment accounts and revenue accounts. And so as investigations go on and you seize vehicles and cash and things like that, we've been very responsible with that money. So we do have the ability to extend that task force another year and a half or two. But without the absolute buy-in and commitment from every city in this entire county, to include Ferry County, the community will lose a law enforcement entity. And basically that's what it is. It's a standalone law enforcement agency who specifically does nothing but investigate drugs. That's all they do.
So losing that agency, if we lost it countywide or two countywide, however, some pretty adverse impact on our county's drug issue.
Huge. I will tell you that the drug task force is solely responsible for 99% of all drug investigations countywide. That includes every law enforcement agency here. Now, I'm not going to say that the city of Omak or Brewster City or anybody else doesn't make drug arrests.
Right.
Because they do.
Sure.
I'm talking about investigations. That means long-term investigations. I'm talking about developing an informant, making three or four buys from that informant, writing search warrants, writing wire orders, serving those, you know, doing a financial investigation after the criminal investigation. We're talking about investigations.
Right.
So, you know, those are done solely by the drug task force. You know, there have been 24 different detectives in my career there since 2001. I'm the longest standing member of the drug task force today. And out of those 24 detectives, you know, it's been said that every candidate has a grasp of the drug problem and understands it and that. Out of 24 detectives, I alone have been responsible for 35% of all investigations in Okanagan County since 2001. I understand this problem better than anybody. And it's not just a heroin problem. Yeah, we've had an increase in overdose deaths, yeah, and that is due to heroin.
Yeah.
But you can go out anywhere tonight. Well, I don't know about you. I can go out anywhere I want tonight and buy methamphetamine.
Yeah, probably not me.
Yeah, right?
Probably not so much.
So, I mean, but those of us who are in the game understand,
sure,
the game.
Oh, yeah.
Heroin's a huge problem. But methamphetamine is just as much as a problem. Mm-hmm. Ask any one of the candidates how much a point of heroin is. Ask them. Ask them what an ounce goes for today. Ask them what an ounce of methamphetamine's going for today. See if you truly understand the problem or you just say you do. And so I guess the answer to the problem is as an executive board and as a drug task force, we go to the cities and you just tell them flat out, here's the deal. You put a body in, you figure out how to do that. You do it for a two-year rotation if you want. The sheriff's office is going to do it forever, in my opinion, if I'm the sheriff. We're not going to quit. If you don't put any bodies in, we will make it happen. I can't promise you we're going to come to your city and help you. I'm responsible for the county. But what I can promise you is if you give us a body, we will do everything in your city. And so that's how you answer the problem. And I know people have said before, well, the drug problem has existed for years. You know, the war on drugs is a waste of time. No, the war on drugs is not a waste of time. The war on drugs prevents human smuggling. We've seen it at the border. The war on drugs prevents a rape. The war on drugs prevents property crimes, thefts, burglaries. You know, I tell people, always joke about it. They laugh, but nobody ever broke into your house and stole your TV so they could watch it. You know, they broke in your house and stole your TV, your $800,000 TV, to go sell it to some drug dealer or trade it to some drug dealer for $40 worth of heroin,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah.
So the war on drugs is not a waste of time. The war on drugs helps prevent a lot of other crimes. And our drug task force has been very successful. Not only that, but working with our PROACT team, recovering stolen property. You serve a warrant. You get stolen property. You get cash. You get guns that somebody stole from somebody. You get warrants. We find warrants all the time, you know, fugitive warrants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a crime that's not just a misdemeanor, you know? that's with all due respect to field deputies, that's fine. But this crime actually puts people in prison. You know, and we've done it not just at the state level, but in federal prison. Yeah. And so it's very important.
Before we run out of time, I got a couple of questions I want to throw at you. One has to do with what, you know, if elected, your top priorities. And then the second, you mentioned earlier on about immigration from a national perspective, the thing in Chicago and so on and so forth. We have not really an immigration issue here, but we do have a very diverse ethnicity. How do you view the Sheriff's Department's role in their exposure to those other the ethnic groups in our county?
Okay, so let's take one of those at a time. So the first thing I would do is in 2017, we called it a test program, test pilot program. We were getting hit fairly hard with property crimes. And so we chose two of the deputies who were very familiar with the area and what I call is very hard on criminals, that they love to chase bad guys. So we took those two gentlemen and we created a PROACT team. And with that PROACT team, their job was solely to focus on property crimes, and that's it.
Okay.
Write the warrants, do the investigations. We did that. We were successful. I believe that the program was successful. Every sergeant within the department agreed that that was a successful program. However, it removed two bodies from the field, meaning two of the four squads were short a body. So at the end of the year, when we had our sergeants meeting, every sergeant agreed that they wanted, although the men did a wonderful job, they wanted the squads full. That's not my opinion. My opinion is we should have kept it. So based on the conversation with the sergeants, I took that information back to the sheriff, and the sheriff decided that the sergeants have a lot of buy-in and run this office. And so we filled the squads. Now, the sheriff and I, although we agree on a lot of things, we disagree on that philosophy. And if elected, within 30 days, the PROACT team would be back in place. It's another thing that you can do to actually supplement the drug task force. Okay. It's because those property crimes and drug crimes go hand in hand. There's no reason that those two entities should be working apart.
Sure.
They should be working together. They should be hunting criminals every single day, looking for dope dealers, looking for burglars as a team every day. So that's the first thing I would do if I go back.
Okay.
To address your cultural and ethnicity differences within the county, I grew up here. my best friend is Hispanic and Native American. I ran around with everybody from the reservation and everybody from every orchard. I worked in the orchards when I was a kid. The sheriff's office ability to communicate, to interact with these people, I don't know if you would call it anything other than just being a professional. They're human beings. I don't really care your race, religion, your color, your skin. I don't care where you came from.
Yeah.
I don't even care if you're here legally or illegally, as long as you're not a criminal. I don't even ask. Why would I ask? If I run into you on the street, even as a professional, the first words out of my mouth aren't, hey, I see you're of a different color. Where are you from?
Some might say to you, though, if they're here illegally, they are criminals.
Not a criminal to me.
Okay.
You're not a criminal to me, and that's not something I ask.
Okay.
You know, I'm assuming that you're here working your butt off for your family. I'm not assuming that you're a criminal.
Yeah.
Now, there's a difference between that and criminals. If you're a criminal alien, it doesn't matter, and we call them aliens because it doesn't matter where you're from. You could be from Mexico, Guatemala. I don't care if you're from Korea, Canada. Criminal aliens, we deal with at the Drug Task Force just as many Canadians 10 years ago as we did with anybody from south of the border.
Sure.
So it doesn't matter where you're from. It matters whether or not you're a criminal and you're here. And if you're a criminal and you're here, we book you into jail. And we're required by law. I don't think a lot of people know this. But by state law, we are required to determine your ethnicity when you come into the jail. And if we believe that you are a criminal alien, and you're not legally here, we are required to notify Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now, I know the whole political issue that's going on,
yeah,
but if anybody doesn't know, they should look at the RCW. It's in the RCW. That's a requirement. And we are also required to notify them within 48 hours of their release. It's a state law. So I don't care where you're from. Come here, be part of our community. Work hard for your family, and don't commit crimes, regardless of who you are. If you commit crimes, we will aggressively come after you.
Yeah.
And if you're not here legally, I will do everything in my power to get you deported.
Right. Because you have to.
I don't want you here.
Right.
You're not here working hard. You're not here for your family. You're here to commit crime. So
you got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Anything you want to make sure people hear?
I just think what sets me apart from the rest of the candidates there are some who are running today, and I can't speak for a couple of them, but there are some who are running today who had the same opportunity that I had to have an impact at the sheriff's office, to grow their influence, to grow the sheriff's office's influence, and for whatever reason, you'd have to ask them, and I encourage people to ask them why. Why didn't you take that job when you had the opportunity? Why did the sheriff choose Steve Brown to be the chief criminal deputy? I would say he chose me because he thought I was the best man for the job and still does today. I would ask everybody to seek out every single sheriff in this county and Ferry County and every single chief and ask them why unequivocally, out of everybody that you could have picked,
mm-hmm,
why did every single one of you choose Steve Brown to be the commander and the leader of the drug task force? Why not any of these other candidates? Because everybody has an opportunity.
Sure.
Just because I'd been there doesn't mean that the chief of police of Brewster can't come in and say, heck no, I've got a guy that I want in there, and ask them why. I would submit because they believe that I'm the best man for the job.
Okay.
And so when you talk about issues and everybody agrees that the number one issue is the drug issue, ask them, who's the best man for the job? Who's the best man to lead the sheriff's office and tackle this problem? But I don't want to single it to just that issue. The sheriff's office and the sheriff himself tackle a huge role in this county. It's not just a drug issue. But that's what everybody wants people to believe, and that's the biggest issue that's going now. So ask them.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody's time, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the summer.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Take care.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay.